going through things ended, that things were not what was going on. What they didn't do, though, was stay there and constantly speak that. And I think Bethany even touched on that as well. You know, we all go through something, but what we have to make a decision to do is not live there. Yeah, you can cry for a moment, but let's not stew there, sit there, live there, move in, don't buy luggage, don't unpack, you know, but prepare to always move. So I'm excited. I'm excited about what we're getting ready to hear. So to continue in the theme in which we were, it seems like the Holy Spirit has deposited in all of our speakers of movement, activity, brand new, moving now, moving in silence, dealing with situations in our cave with wisdom, battling for your family, breaking generational curses. And then another thing that made me think when Brenda was talking today was about something Pastor Garland preached on not too long ago, but he may or may not have put this in a series. If not, he definitely needs to. Soul damage, right? I don't know if you all remember that, who belonged to Praise Church, but soul damage. So I'm going to ask him to see if he has that in the collection, Bethany. Because we need to put that out. All right. So we're going to let's stand for a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you have poured upon us, Heavenly Father, now and what you're going to do later. We thank you, God, that you are here. You came to set the captives free and to give us life, life more abundantly. We walk in that authority. We walk in that power. We walk in that dominion, God. We ask that you order our steps, God. Give us strategy to move forward in your world, God. And we give you glory as we hear from our speakers today and as we hear from Pastor Bev tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you, God. Give us fresh revelation. Rhema word, Heavenly Father. Word that we can use and apply to our lives as we are open. We yield to you, Holy Spirit. We yield. Have your way. Come and move in and through us in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so now we're getting ready to have Miss Mary Bangs, and then after Miss Mary Bangs, Miss Kathy Hebert.
Thank you. First, I want to give glory to the Lord. This morning when I came to teach, I could barely walk. My husband had to drive me here, and I couldn't even get up off the chair. My knees were locked up. My legs were hurting like they were charley horses in both of the backs of my legs. They were tight, tight, tight. So I got prayed for. And now look at me. I'm moving. I'm moving. The tightness is gone. This is incredible. I can jump and dance and praise the Lord. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for his healing touch and for using Bethany. Amen. Praise the Lord. Woo, there's power in this place. Okay, my lesson today is the process of seeing your promise fulfilled. I had wrote this lesson off of questioning God, because when I had had my surgery and I went before doctor, it was, who was the preacher? I can't think of the prophet. Who is it? Who was the prophet? McKinley? No. I can't think. But anyway, he said, who in this area is having severe pain? I said, well, it's me. And he said, well, come up here and let me pray for you. And he prayed for me. And he said, do you feel that disc move in your back? And I said, yes, I do. I'm feeling it. And he had his hand on my back, and somebody else was touching me on the forehead, and I could feel the touch of God on me. And I could see it in the spirit. I was free. I was healed. I had no problem at all. But then when I went back to my seat, I hobbled all the way to the car. And I wanted to ask God, what is going on with that? Because I really had the faith and I really believed it. So what he showed me is it's a process. I mean, I'm looking for a miracle to happen right this moment, but that's not what he's doing. He was doing a healing, and it was a process. Yeah. Now my process is in devotion. He's testing us. And somebody's about to pass the test, as they say. And it was like, are you going to worship through this? Are you going to have a sacrifice of praise through this? And see how far God's going to bring you through each stage of the process that he's doing in you. So how many of us has waited for God to fulfill specific problems concerning physical needs, spiritual revival, business deals, ministry opportunities, salvation of loved ones, and personal finance, yet you have not received the answer? As we wait for these promises to be fulfilled, our hearts can literally become sick and our faith can be shaken to the core. Yeah. We logically dismiss our deferred hope by saying, I guess God didn't really make that promise. And before long, we're thinking, maybe I never heard from God correctly. In fact, maybe God is not going to answer. Misunderstanding is now going to give birth to impatience. And impatience is going to give birth to disappointment. And disappointment gives birth to doubt. And doubt is now going to give birth to unbelief. Unbelief gives birth to bitterness. You see the decline? Because you didn't hold true to your faith and to that promise. That's Satan's formula for transforming a believer into renouncing their belief. Wow. Romans 4:20, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. He didn't stagger, but through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what was promised, God was able to perform. You see how strong you got to be and not stagger, not go back and forth over that. And therefore, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Abraham believed God through faith, having no doubt that God's promises would come to fruition, just as he promised. And we should be birthed in peace, trust, reliance, confidence, assurance, and faith instead of those other things. God's going to fulfill his promise in his way and in his time. Let us not be dismayed or disappointed by the mysterious ways that God works. His ways are hidden from our eyes and are past finding out. We picture our end goal and almost see it. But then we are taught God will perform his promises, and he will. But what we don't expect is the process to get to that promise. It is a process that God actually fulfills his promise. If we are to reach our goal without trials, we will feel we have done it in our own strength, not in God. And he is with you in the entire process. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. That's Exodus 14:14. One of the things we're having a hard time processing in our mind is the perception of the promise, because it is different from God. What we see seems like a defeat is really a setup for victory. Amen. God fulfills a promise not just for the moment, but sometimes for a lifetime. Joshua 23:14, you know with all your heart and soul that not one of all God's promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. So look at the widow with Elijah. He asked her to bake a cake. She only had enough oil to feed herself and her sons and die. But the minute the oil hit the pan, everything changed. She had enough oil to pay the debt. May the Holy Spirit's anointing hit the pan and bring us increase as we pour out our faith, believing for increase. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry. How in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Look at Anna. She is a faithful intercessor, fasting and praying for the coming of the Messiah. She pursued the Lord that one day she would see him. Inside of her was a fire in her belly, and the Spirit of God resting on her. And the Holy Spirit helps us pray. We learn to partner with him for the purpose. When we engage with his spirit, there are groanings that are released through us. Hannah was birthing the coming of the Messiah and also the forerunner of John the Baptist. As soon as she got the word, the Messiah is here, everything changed. The Messiah is here. Anna's decades of prayer request was answered as she held the answer to her prayers in her arms. She spoke of him to all that had looked for the redemption of Jerusalem. When she held the presence of the answer to her prayers in her arms, it was the fruit of her intercession. So the answer is on the way. My question is this. So what is happening from the time Mary conceived the word until she actually held the promise in front of her in the flesh? Mary heard the word of the Lord from the angel Gabriel. The message to her was not to be afraid. The Lord has favored you and the Lord is with you. This is so important that Gabriel wants to establish faith in her right from the start and let her know that God is with you and he knows your situation. He is all in it and he will bring you through it. Many times we fret when we don't understand, so God knows and was preparing her for peace. Gabriel spoke a prophetic promise to her, a promise to conceive a son, and not just a son, but a child that would grow to be great. The Lord God, the Son of the living God. The Lord is going to give him the throne of his father David, and the kingdom will never end. Mary asked, well, how shall this be? So to ensure her that it would happen, he told her Elizabeth is going to have a child in her old age, that nothing is impossible with God. In the Amplified Version, it states the verse like this, as for no word from God shall be without power and impossible of fulfillment. Isn't that beautiful? Mary conceived the promise and said, let it be according to the word that was spoken. And the word was fulfilled. This is what we all desire, that when we get a prophetic word and it's spoken over us or to us about something after receiving the word, we now have a life-dominating prayer over it. It seems your petition is focused on only one thing, the thing that preoccupies your mind and dominates your desire. And all the power of your soul constantly is in your thoughts and in your prayers. Then like Zechariah and Elizabeth are seeing, it's past time of life or that it would ever happen. You stop asking. Our not yets feel like nothing is happening instead. Act on faith in them, because then in the most midst of your unanswered prayer, Gabriel shows up, saying, I just left the presence of God to tell you this good news that the promise will be fulfilled in the flesh. Mary is now pregnant with the word being Jesus. When you are pregnant, you are eating for double. You have cravings for spicy foods and sweet foods. These cravings affect your sense of smell, your taste, and your appetites, causing desire for flavor. When you are pregnant, a promise you are growing, a promise in your spirit, you need to feed that promise with faith to keep that promise alive. It's never enough of his word, promise and insurance and truth. You want to keep eating to keep it to grow. When you get a promise from God, it's time to ramp up your word intake. Why? Because you got a promise to feed, to birth that promise. And God expects us to carry it in our spirits, grow it, till full term. You need to ramp up your prayer life, turn up the fire, stir up the spirit, partner with the Holy Spirit in groanings and tears until it is manifested in the flesh. Isaiah 54:2 said, enlarge the place of your tent. How do I enlarge my tent, the habitation? Stretch out your curtains. Don't hold back.
Check.
Sorry about that. Thank you.
Okay, let's go back over that part because that was really interesting. It says, enlarge the place of your tent. How do I enlarge my tent, the habitation? Stretch out the curtain. He said, don't hold back. Lengthen those ropes. Spare not. Drive the pegs deep. Strengthen thy stakes. And this is so important because it will be able to support the weight of your enlargement. It shall be upon you. Expect great things from God. Think big dreams. Get bigger perspective. God is bigger than the opposition, the health, the disappointments, and the financial problems, or whatever you're dealing with God. God wants us to get past our current limits and break the hold of fear that it has on us. God wants us to develop and to deal with the pressure of the things that come. You need to be rooted in Christ. The stakes will not come undone. So lengthen the cords and stretch and make room for more. God has put it in there to enlarge you. But instead of feeling enlarged, you have been feeling constricted. You've been feeling confining and inhibited. Esther 4:4 says, for if you remain silent at this time, enlargement and deliverance will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. So here's a word that's going along with everything that's being said today, that we must not remain silent. Esther needed deliverance, but she also needed enlargement. Mordecai urges her to let herself be the instrument by which God used for his work to get it done. If we are idle and not speak, the evil will take over us. We have been raised for such a time as this by God's appointed time to do the work. At God's time, it is now here. The time is to go deep. The time is to grow. And this is what God wants us to enlarge in. He wants us to grow in understanding, to grow in righteousness, to grow in good works, to grow in the knowledge of God, to grow in humility, to grow in the fear of the Lord, to grow in the love of God, to grow in the grace of God, and to grow in faith. It's time to enlarge. So you see, while you are waiting for this promise to come and to be fulfilled, this is what God's doing. This is the work that he's doing in your life. Mary made haste to go see Elizabeth. They encouraged each other in the Lord. Elizabeth saying, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, blessed because you believed, and there shall be a performance of those things that were told you of the Lord. Find somebody you can bounce off with each other and encourage each other in the faith. What does Mary do to build her faith? She trusted God's plan and followed it, not her own. Joseph did as the angel commanded him. She fed the word in her spirit by speaking praise about God in the midst of uncertainty. She worshiped God, even in the unknown. She said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoiced in God my Savior. He has been mindful of me. The Mighty One is going to do great things in me. Bless his holy name, for he has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered the proud and brings down rulers and fulfills the hungry with good things and helps his servant by being merciful. He is on our side, just as he promised. So you can see Mary exalted the Lord during her time of waiting for the promise. She took the promise literally. She did not explain it away, but she pondered them in her heart. She fed her faith and stayed strong against adversity and death to her seed and struggled in their travels until in Galatians 4:4, when the time had come, fully come, or the fullness of time had come, when the time was right, through his fulfillment of the scriptures that prophesied of his coming, she brought forth the son, and the fruit of her labor was made manifest in the flesh as she held the promise in her arms. Let's birth the promise. Let's get large by yielding to the process, seeing the promise being fulfilled. Feed the promise, grow it, bring it to full term with lots of faith. Let's enlarge our territory with no limits and stretch out your resolve and make up your mind to be determined to overcome the difficulties, the problems, and the weaknesses. You can do this by making a sound decision and setting your will to do so. The Holy Spirit says, ask for my help and I will give it. I will undergird you and help you and reinforce your foundation, both spiritually and naturally. You cannot wait till a storm comes to pour the foundation of the cement. It won't hold in those conditions. So now it is time to build up your most holy faith and grow and enlarge by going forth in confidence. Therefore, cast not away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you will receive the promise. Amen. So how many of you are waiting for a promise from God? Yes, we are. So what are we going to do in the process of our waiting? Build our faith, enlarge our tent, grow in the knowledge of God and in the love of God. Keep pressing, keep believing, keep doing it, because it will come. And when it comes, you'll be able to have the fruit of your intercession and see it manifested in the flesh. Amen? Okay. I've been at the intercessor at Pastor Beverly's church way back in 2002 when the hurricane started coming, and I switched over. I used to travel around the world, and then when that ministry kind of ended, I moved into the new ministry with the pastor and started co-working with Martina and Joanne Barrett in doing intercessory prayer, and led that for quite some time. And just recently, the pastors asked me to take over the Wednesday night services and do intercessory prayer there, and it has been phenomenal. We have seen so many prayers answered, and what thrills me is we have about maybe 6 male intercessors that come. That just thrills me to imagine men are stepping up to the plate and coming to church on a Wednesday night. And so we've been seeing some great things done. And this week we had watched a movie on breaking generational curses, and we brought popcorn and we were sitting there eating. And who said prayer is going to be like boring? So what I want to say is I'm the lead intercessor over the group of this, and I'm going to introduce Kathy to come, and she's going to speak now, as she is the intercessor over this church here.
You. Praise the Lord. I'm excited about what the Lord is doing in this conference. It's been really awesome. I kind of see how he's just sort of putting everything together. And I love Mary's teaching, and I love that I'm under Mary, you know, because it's exciting. And I do not think that prayer is boring at all. I think prayer is absolutely the most necessary thing that we do in our life, in our Christian walk. So, I would say that the Lord gave me the title of this message, and it is Survive or Thrive. And I don't think any of us is just called to survive or just to exist. We are survivors because we have gotten born again. So we thrive. God has called us to thrive. And Zach Williams has a song that just talks about being survivors, and I love that song, but I want to just expand on that thriving means that we prosper, and that we flourish, and that we bloom, and that we advance, that we succeed, we profit, we shoot up, we expand, we develop, and we go strong, and we're luxuriant in all of that. The opposite of thrive is stagnant, failure, dying, and unhealthy. And I don't think that's God's plan for any of us. It is in God's will for us to thrive. The Word of God guides us. And Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come," and I want to emphasize the word, "pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." So I've been doing, I've done it more than once. It's a 40-day prayer challenge. It's a devotion by Mark Patterson, or Batterson is how you say his name, called Draw the Circle. And I really have just enjoyed this prayer challenge book so much. It's just really been a blessing, and I've done it with different friends, and we make each other be accountable, and we share about what the Lord is doing through this book. And he says in his book, our potential is directly proportional to our prayer life. It is the single greatest indicator of our success in any endeavor. Prayer is a must for the believer. For a victorious life, we must be praying. And in Proverbs 23:7, it says, "For as he thinks within himself, so he is." And you know, that is what we think in our heart. What is in our heart? My question to you is, do you have a healthy heart in God? Is your heart healthy in God? And one of the ways to achieve a healthy heart in God is to be able to be in his word and to know his word. Because when we pray, we want to be praying effectively. And when we pray effectively, we pray the word. And so Romans 6, I love these scriptures. You're going to love the second one. If you are sat under Pastor Garland at all, you'll know it. Romans 6:13 says, "And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." In that scripture, the word instrument actually means a weapon. And he wants us to be his weapon against the enemy. We are the weapon of God in this earth. It's because of what we do in our prayer life that makes a difference in the world around us. And so in 2 Corinthians 10:4, we're going to see this word used again, but it's the same word in the Greek. It's hoplon, but it says for the weapons. So there the word instrument in the other scripture, which were the instrument, the members of our instrument. Well, in 2 Corinthians 10:4, one of Pastor's favorite scriptures, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That's it. It's our mindset. Where is our mindset? Is our mindset on what God says about who we are, about what he's going to do, and where he wants us to go in him? And so we have to have the right mindset. It's very important that we pray in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, "One who speaks in tongues edifies himself." We stir it up when we pray in tongues. And I have to tell you, when I was putting this together, the Lord, I was praying, I've just been praying in the Spirit all week long, praying and praying and praying and praying in tongues. And I was like, the Lord is telling me, I want you to share about tongues. I want you to pray in tongues and share about tongues. And I thought, ooh, you know, I'm not so sure. And then what's Kim come in this first thing this morning? She says, "We're all in one accord and we're going to pray in the Spirit. We're going to pray in tongues. And if you don't pray in tongues, I hope by the end of this conference that you do." So it's very important. When a person prays in the Spirit, they are strengthening their inner man. And we can't come out of those cave experiences like Brenda was talking about if our inner man is not strengthened. I started looking up some things because I remembered hearing about this, that at ORU, Oral Roberts University, a brain surgeon did a study of what happens in our brain when people pray in tongues. And he found that there are two chemicals that are secreted that boost our immune system by 35 to 40% when we pray in tongues. Now, isn't that an interesting thing? So for your friends who are science lovers and want to make everything so logical, well, praying in tongues is very beneficial to our bodies. And the Lord has created these bodies. We are carriers of the glory of God. We're carriers of a very precious cargo, the living God, who says the same spirit that rose Christ Jesus from the dead lives inside of us. And we're carriers of that. We're the ones that go in and we're the atmosphere changers. Well, we're not going to be atmosphere changers if we don't get into the Word, know the Word, have the right mindset, and operate in the Holy Spirit by speaking in tongues. So God created our immune system to be our defense against harmful invaders, bacterial, viral, fungal, parasitic, even malignancies. A weak immune system allows pathogens to attack and overwhelm our body. I know one thing. I know that this woman here was praying in the spirit in tongues when her husband was laying in that hospital bed, and that was infusing into him. There was no doubt. When I heard that man's testimony, I'm like, why has he been holding that back from us? I mean, it's an amazing testimony, amazing. So praying in the spirit and getting in the Word and getting in our thinking right, all of these things are what a Christian should be doing. So what does that look like? I mean, what does that look like? If you're doing these things, what is the Word of God says in Galatians 5 that the fruit of the Spirit, so we should be some fruity people, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, you know? Someone talked to one of the speakers I know mentioned something about, I want to think it was Sandra Pate, about a fruit basket. You know, a fruit basket is a very good gift to give to someone. Well, if we have the fruits of the Spirit, we can bring good gifts into the homes of hurting people, family members, neighbors, whatever. But we've got to have the fruit. We've got to have the fruit. The fruits operating in. We've got to be patient, self-controlled. Now, does that mean that we're never going to mess up? Because it's hard for me to say that, because I do mess up. I do mess up. But what do? We repent, we turn around, and we move on. We never stop praying. Revelations 5:8 says, the bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. That's the prayers of the saints. That's who we are. We've got to be that praying people. And God is loving that. He's loving it when we pray, because that's getting intimate with Him. That's getting into I like to say a snuggle with God. You know, when I get in my chair, I have a praying place. I'm sure, Mary, you probably have a praying place, don't you? I have a really comfortable chair. I get up in my chair, I get my blanket, and I begin to just pray and snuggle with God. And listen to see what's He telling me I'm supposed to do next. And let me just tell you, He answers our prayers. I will tell you, He doesn't always answer them the way we think at all. Many, many times I've seen prayers answered, not at all the way I expected, but they were direct answers to my prayers. I'll just tell you one real quick prayer request I had. I had a son. He was living in Oregon. He was doing some bad things. I was really upset. I wanted my son back close to me. I wanted to be spending time with him. And I prayed, Lord, I really want my son to live near me. I want to influence him. I want to love on him. I want to see him every day, Lord. I want to see my son. Well, my son now lives 5 minutes from me. My son is in a nursing home. He has a genetic brain disorder, and he wants me there every day. It's not the way I expected it to be. I expected it to be my son and his wife and his cute little kids, which that did not. None of that happened. None of that happened. But I do get to see him all the time, and I want to tell you, even though he has a condition that is horrific, he is the most loving, sensitive, joy, full of joy person, and people in that place all love him, and he loves on them, and they love on him, and they all just love him and adore him, and he always has a smile on his face. He has beautiful teeth. I used to work for a dentist, and I encouraged him his entire life he better brush his teeth because I paid a lot of money for his braces. And I said, I don't ever want to find anything happen to those teeth. And so he's very proud of his teeth. And this is just a little extra story I'm just throwing in there. But I just, it's so funny because we went to his neurologist who said, gee, Morgan, did you get a new set of teeth? And Morgan smiled real big. He said, these are my teeth. And the doctor said, that's just almost unheard of with someone with Huntington's disease to have their own teeth. Most of them lose their teeth. Well, he has every one of his teeth and beautiful teeth. And everybody talks about his beautiful smile. But that's just an extra thing in here. So another thing about thriving, as we live in a thriving lifestyle, we walk in victory. We want to walk in victory. And so I'm a huge advocate of declarations, and I have things that I declare every day. I have my little book of declarations and decrees, and so I'm going to list some scriptures for you if you want to write them down. I'm not going to read them all for lack of time, but I am going to give them to you, and then I am going to read the decrees that they're all based on. And the first one is 1 Corinthians 15:57, Romans 8:37, Deuteronomy 20:4, 2 Corinthians 2:14, 1 Chronicles 29:11, Proverbs 24:6, Jeremiah 1:8, Romans 8:31. I'll back to Proverbs 24:6, Jeremiah 1:8, Romans 8:31. It's hard for me to go slow. You know, I go in the grocery store and people say, oh, you look like you're in a hurry, go ahead of me. And I'm like, I'm not in a hurry. Everybody thinks I'm in a hurry. I don't know. It's just what I do. I do things fast. John 16:33. I can't read my writing. And Psalms 18:46-47. And so I'm gonna have you all do the first decree with me. I'll say it, and then we'll say it together. I triumph over my enemies and over all obstacles because God gives me victory over every circumstance. I triumph over my enemies and over all obstacles because God gives me victory over every circumstance. I'm going to just read the rest of them. In all things, I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. The Lord God goes with me to fight for me against my enemies and gives me the victory. I am thankful to God who in Christ always leads me into a triumphant procession, rejoicing in victory. I decree that the Lord is full of greatness, power, glory, majesty, and that he causes me to be victorious. I seek out wise guidance from those who have my best interest at heart and gain victory in the abundance of wise counselors. That one is so important, that we have good, godly friends in our life that we can go to that will tell us the truth. Don't take your problems to unsaved people. And I know a lot of people seek the guidance of therapists. And I would tell you, if you're going for therapy, you make sure you have a Christian therapist. Because you don't, I actually went to a therapist because I was really struggling with some things. And she had been given to me by my insurance. And she told me, well, I think that you're just a little bit too caught up in this religion stuff. Well, that was the end of that. So, because it's not religion anyway, it's a relationship. And that's what I told her. It's a relationship with the Lord, and it's very, very important to my well-being. So I am not afraid. God is with me to deliver me. He is with me to rescue me. I am strong in the Lord and very courageous because God is for me and not against me. My heart is confident and secure in the Lord. though there may be tribulation and trials. Read the book of James, count it all joy, and he'll tell you why you count it all joy, what's going to happen to you if you count it all joy. You're going to, your character is going to be built up, and you're going to be better off because of it. The Lord never said we're not going to experience trials and tribulations, but he has given us peace in the midst of it. I do not fear because he has overcome the world. I proclaim the greatness of God and rejoice in him because he has won the ultimate and eternal battle for me. And last but not least, this is my 1 Thessalonians 5:23. This is for all of you. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul, which is your mind, your will, and emotions, and body, be preserved complete without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What a great day that will be. Amen. Love you all.
It's a beautiful word. Thank you, Kathy. Let's all just stand to our feet. We're going to pray for the evening service. Pastor Beverly has the service for tonight. And we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to move in a mighty way. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit that you've been doing today in our lives, God. We submit ourselves completely to you, God, to do that work. We say yes, Lord, to you. We open up our hearts and our spirit for more of you tonight, Lord. We ask him for the Holy Spirit's presence to come. We ask for anointing to rest upon Pastor Beverly as she speaks a word to us, Lord. Such an anointed word and a word for a time as this, Lord. And we're going to receive that word, Lord, and we're going to run with that word, Lord. We just thank you, Heavenly Father, for every person that's coming to the conference tonight. And every need will be met, Lord. Every problem be solved, Lord. Every healing will come in the name of Jesus, Lord. We give you the honor and the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.